RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headlines, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Minister Rini proposes 6 holding companies for state-owned companies. Saudi Vision 2030 offers opportunities to Indonesian business people. Now the news in detail. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno has proposed 6 holding companies for around 140 state companies to be more effective in their contribution to Indonesia's economic development. The 6 proposed holding companies are PT Inalun for Mining, PT Pertamina for Energy Companies, Perun Perunas for Housing Construction, PT Utama Karya for Infrastructure and Toll Road, PT Dana Reksa for Financial Services, and Perum Bulog for Food. Minister Rini also said that all holding companies have to be wholly owned by the government and they have at least 51% of shares of their subsidiaries. She added that state-owned companies holding are expected to carry out development all over the country without financial support from the state budget. Head of Research and Policy Development for Asia-Pacific and African Regions at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Muhammad Heri Saripudin, who is also Consul General Candidate for Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, said that a program called Saudi Vision 2030 offers opportunities to Indonesian entrepreneurs to expand their businesses to Saudi Arabia. He remarked that Saudi Arabia is now intensively diversifying its economic sector beyond energy. He added that Saudi Arabia needs a huge budget, so it must diversify its economic resources by privatization of strategic sectors, developing property, and soon. This is an opportunity for Indonesian business people to take part in it. Harry added that Middle East is a strategic region because of large number of Indonesians living in the country. Governor Central Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo estimates the Indonesian surplus balance of trade could continue in the next 2 quarters of this year because of sustained contribution exhibited significantly from the increase in inflows and the capital and financial transaction. However, he is reluctant to predict the position of Indonesian balance of payments surplus at the end of the year. In the second quarter, April, May and June 2016, Bank Indonesian balance of payments recorded a surplus of Indonesian balance of trade that amounted to $2.2 billion. The surplus showed improvement after the first quarter of 2016, when Indonesian balance of trade posted a deficit by $0.3 billion. An official car of the first president of Indonesia will be showcased along with several other vintage cars and motorbikes in Bali to enliven the 71st anniversary of Indonesia's independence. The vintage car manufactured in Russia in 1957 was once used as the official vehicle by President Sukarno. The exhibition will be held at the Lotemart Fields bypass Ngurah Rai Street, Sanur, South Denpasar on August 14 until 16, 2016. A total of 71 vintage cars and 58 vintage motorcycles will be on display at the exhibition, which is open to the general public and it is free of charge. The exhibition will draw the interest of the community as it will showcase the car that was specifically gifted by the Russian president to President Sukarno. Chairman of the Association of Vintage Car Enthusiasts Bali, Jos Darmawan said that the official car of President Sukarno is now 59 years old, is still in good condition to be used on the highway. He said that almost all vintage vehicles are unfit for use and the machines are still good. Head of West Nusa Tenggara NTB Culture and Tourism Department, Lalu Fausal, said that at least 1.2 million domestic and foreign tourists had visited NTB until August. July and August were crowded by visitors. He also said that his department will always encourage tourists by reforming the infrastructure in the tourist spots. His site has prepared a total of 18 packages to improve tourist sector. He also said that Ampenan, Mataram City now is developing heritage as tourism branding and completing the facilities including at Sembalun tourist destination, Port Teluk Nara, Senggigi. He remarked that his department is making NTB as one of the areas which complete halal certification program for hotels and restaurants. The last item, Indonesian mixed doubles pairing Tan Toby Ahmad Liliana Nasir secure an easy win over Australian pair Robin Middleton Len Chu in Group C of Olympic badminton events in Rio 2016 on Tuesday. Tan Toby Liliana scored 21-7, 21-8 victory in 25 minutes. Liliana said that their performance was good. They could feel the wind blowing across the court. They have to reduce unforced errors to better read wind direction. The day after, they have to prepare themselves to be more focused and avoid lapses because they would face even stronger opponents. In the first game, Tan Toby Liliana made a flying start with 6-2 lead. Middleton and Chu was overwhelmed by Tan Toby Liliana's attack. Tan Toby Liliana continued their lead to 11-3 before closing the first game 21-7. In the second game, Tan Toby Liliana strolled to 11-2 late. Middleton and Chu failed to either improve their performance or escape pressure from Tan Toby Liliana. It ended 21-8 for Tan Toby Liliana. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Press Review. Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper, which in an editorial on Thursday, August the 11th, writes, "Police positive steps." Indonesian National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has taken positive steps to investigate Haris Azhar article about the drug mafia. An independent team has been formed and led by Police General Oversight Inspector Commissioner General Dwi Priyatno, involving prominent figures such as Hendardi and Effendi Ghazali. The move was considered positive rather than rushing in setting Haris Azhar as a suspect of defamation against the Indonesian military, police, and the National Narcotic Agency. While the investigations against Haris should be stopped first, Haris' posts on social media sparked controversy. Haris, who met Freddy Budiman in 2014, revealed about the involvement of the National Narcotic Agency, the armed forces, and police officers in Freddy's narcotics network. Unfortunately, Freddy was sentenced to death and executed, so he cannot be questioned. In fact, according to Freddy's confession to Haris, billion of rupiah had been deposited to the three institutions on charges of defamation. Indeed, for some people, there is a possibility that some of the anti-narcotic officers, military, and police officers participated in making money from the narcotic business. All parties appreciate the steps taken by the military chief, General Gatot Nurmantio, who together with head of the Anti-Narcotic Bureau, Budi Waseso, and Director General of Penitentiary to discover the truth behind Haris' claim. Because of that, according to Kompas, an independent team can overcome all institutions with a full mandate to start a new chapter for clearing up the virus of narcotic in the institutions. Over now to Business Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Thursday, the paper writes, "Refusing remission for corrupter." As an extraordinary crime, corruption cases should be treated on par with other crimes, heavy penalties must be imposed on the criminals to bring a deterrent effect. The plan to give remission of their sentence will only eliminate the deterrent effect and make the eradication of corruption fail. Law and Human Rights Ministry plans to revise the government regulation on the terms and procedures for the prisoner rights, and these are feared to create such a climate. On the discourse on the draft of the revision of the regulation lately, there are provisions for condition of remission for perpetrators of corruption, terrorism, and narcotics, if they are willing to become justice collaborators. With that provision, the convicted of corruption cases can obtain remission with a basic requirement of good character and has undergone a third of this sentence. Many parties deplored the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights for once again trying to bring the regulation into something which is counterproductive. Not only this time that the discourse on commutation of the sentence against the convict of extraordinary crime came out from the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights. Since taking office as Minister of Law and Human Rights in 2014, Yasona Lawli has not been tired of trying to make the revision. During this time, the minister argued that if an inmate cases of corruption have his property confiscated, pay fines and penalties as well as showing good behavior, he is entitled to receive a remission in accordance with law. It should be emphasized that the revised regulation is against the Joko Widodo-Yusuf Kala government's agenda stated in the fourth Nawacita, namely refusing weakening of the state by reforming the system and law enforcement, which is corruption-free, dignified, and trustworthy. Mitigation penalties against criminals such as the revision of regulation Number 99 of 2012 is tantamount to negating the substance of the fourth Nawacita. Let's conclude the press review with Business Indonesia newspaper. In an editorial on the 11th of August, the paper writes, "Legal certainty in investment. All states require an investment because this is the key to economic growth. The investment will increase employment, raise the performance of the domestic economy, as well as bring a lot of positive spillover. On the other hand, investments requires legal certainty. It is necessity. No one is willing to invest in a place without adequate legal protection. There are obstacles that are often complained by the investors on the investment climate in Indonesia, such as the matter of legal certainty. The financiers look at the rule of law as an important matter. Associated with legal certainty, it is interesting to examine the statement of the new National Police Chief, General Police Tito Karnavian. In a video conference with the ranks of detectives and criminal police at the police headquarters earlier this week, the National Police Chief said the police supports the government in increasing state revenues by providing security guarantees for investors. The police chief promised to ensure security for investors who invest in Indonesia as a support to help improve the national economy. In a matter of legal certainty, there is also the local regulation that are not in harmony with other rules or regulation of the higher ones. Therefore, the government's move to cancel thousands of problematic regulation should be appreciated. There is still much more to do by the government in ensuring legal certainty in the investment." Well, that was Press Review. This week, I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start with the commemoration of Brandon Ocean Fire Beast. The purpose of this Brandon Ocean Fire tragedy is to remind Indonesians that today's Indonesian independence was seized by a great struggle. Brandon Beast is a state-owned oil field located in Langkat, North Sumatra. On 21st July 1947, the Allen's Army along with the Dutch Army attacked North Sumatra. The day after, the Allen Army along with the Dutch Army attacked Brandon Base. In Brandon Base, there were chaos and fear because the Allen's Army knew the enemy's target to reclaim the oil field.
Therefore, the commander division 10th Army of the Republic of Indonesia based in Banda Aceh ordered to destroy the oil field. The purpose of the burning of the oil field was to prevent the Allied Army and the Dutch Army to possess the oil field. The burning of Brandon Base began with the bombing of few tanks, refining foundations and oil field company buildings at dawn about 3 o'clock p.m. We move to 13 August 1960, Central African Republic declared independence. Central African Republic is a country in the hinterland of Africa bordering with Chad, Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Republic of Congo and Cameroon. The country was formerly a French colony called Ubangi Sari, which achieved independence on August 13, 1960. After 3 decades, as a result of a turbulent military rule in terms, finally civilian government came to power in 1993. However, this government only lasted for a decade. In March 2003, a military coup led by General François Bozizé has dropped the civilian government led by President Ange Félix Fattah and established a transitional government. On 13th August 1961, the Berlin Wall construction was begun. The Berlin Wall is a bordering wall made of concrete built by the German Democratic Republic or East Germany that separated East and West Germany. This wall was built on August 13, 1961, under the leadership of Walter Ulbricht. This bordering wall was also accompanied by establishment of a guard tower built along the wall and establishment of a restricted area filled with mines. East Germany claimed that the wall was built to protect its citizens from fascist elements so that they could establish communist government in East Germany. Even so, this wall used to prevent the increasing number of residents of East Berlin fled to West Berlin area, which was located in West Germany territory. Listener, that was all for today in history from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's on Indonesia urges the world to prevent the financing of terrorism. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Abdurrahman Muhammad Fahir at the opening of the second annual Counter-Terrorism Financing or CTF Summit in Bali from August the 8th until 11th, co-hosted by Indonesia's Transaction Reports and Analysis Center and the Australian Financial Intelligence Agency in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday, said acts of terror need financing and it is the duty of the international community to prevent it. The conference was held in conjunction with the International Meeting on Counterterrorism, hosted by the Office of the Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Ministry. Muhammad Fahir said preventing the financing of terrorism can be done by preparing a regional risk assessment, strengthening the cooperation between the Financial Intelligence Unit of this country and developing an educational tool to raise awareness of all stakeholders in the risk of terrorist financing. Fahir warned the threat of terrorism continues to rise. He explained that in 2014 alone, 32,000 people were killed in acts of terror in some countries, up by 80% over the previous year. Meanwhile, in the same event, Chairman of the Center for Financial Transaction Reporting and Analysis, Muhammad Yusuf, said most of terrorism financing continues to grow. The center is now wary of financing terrorism under the guise of donation channeled through charitable organizations. But Muhammad Yusuf did not mention the names of the charitable organizations because he thinks they may be unaware of the vacate. Therefore, the Center for Financial Transaction Reporting and Analysis has created rules that those accepting donation should be clarified. Yusuf further explained that most of the funds used for terrorism come from about 10 countries, including countries in the Middle East and neighboring countries. Center for Financial Transaction Reporting and Analysis has also been mapped areas indicated of getting a steady stream of funds for terrorism. According to Yusuf, allocating funds through foundations or charitable organizations is one mode used to fund terrorist actions. That way, the terrorists could easily get cash given the Center for Financial Transaction Reporting and Analysis would be able to detect the flow of funds if it's transferred. Muhammad Yusuf adds, most of the terrorists do not use the transfers unless it is very urgent and there is no other choice. Currently, the Indonesian Center for Financial Transaction Reporting and Analysis is actively taking part in the discussion on the limitation of cash transaction law to facilitate monitoring of suspicious financial flows, including the financing of terrorism. Moreover, it also gives authority to the customs and excise officers to carry out checks of people, including money, in addition to inspection of goods. Well, that was Focus Today on Indonesia urges the world to prevent the financing of terrorism. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Minister of State-owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno has proposed 6 holding companies for around 140 state companies to be more effective in their contribution to Indonesia's economic development. Head of Research and Policy Development for Asia Pacific and African Regions at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Muhammad Heri Saripudin, who is also Consul General Candidate of Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, said that the program called Saudi Vision 2030 offers opportunities to Indonesian entrepreneurs to expand their businesses to Saudi Arabia. Governor of Central Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo estimates that Indonesia's surplus of trade could continue in the next 2 quarters of this year because of sustained contribution exhibited significantly for increasing inflows on the capital and financial transaction. An official car of the first president of Indonesia will be showcased along with several other vintage cars and motorbikes in Bali to enliven the 71st anniversary of Indonesia's independence. The vintage car manufactured in Russia in 1957 was once used as the official vehicle by President Sukarno. Head of West Nusa Tenggara NTB Culture and Tourism Department, Laluh Fausal, said that at least 1.2 million domestic and foreign tourists had visited NTB until August. July and August were crowded by visitors. He also said that this department will always encourage tourists by reforming the infrastructure in tourism spots. Indonesian mixed doubles pairing Tantowi Ahmad Liliana Nasir secured an easy win over Australian pair Robbie Middleton and Len Chu in Group C of Olympic badminton events in Rio de Janeiro 2016 on Tuesday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to rafting at Ayung River in Bali. Stay tuned! Listener, besides enjoying the beauty of tourism objects in Bali, usually tourists who love adrenaline sport set a time for rafting. The most favorite and the best rafting spot in Bali is at Ayung River. Because tourism object of Ayung River is always crowded and to be visited by either domestic or foreign tourists, especially toward Christmas, New Year, and school holidays, so you must set your time to go there. Listener, Ayung River in Bali offers different sensation and very challenge to be tried, because the river has some rapids that challenge and spur your adrenaline, and this rafting has a distance around 12 kilometers and takes 2 hours. Listener, at Ayung River, you will be presented with beautiful scenery along right and left the river, such as the green trees, small waterfall, which can met as photograph spot. The different rafting at Ayung River and other rivers in Bali is carvings along approximately 200 meters, which is the work of artists in Ubud. Listener, before you do rafting sport at Ayung River, which is located at Payangan Village, Ubud Sub-District, Gianyar Regency, Bali, you will be given briefing by instructor who has been trained and experienced. You will be also introduced with equipments which are used, such as life jacket, paddle, rubber boot, sitting on a boot to save themselves when the boot overturns, and other matters relating to the comfort and safety to the participants. A rubber boot accommodates 4 participants and 1 instructor. If children want to try rafting at Ayung River, you don't have to worry because its water is not quite heavy and its rapids are not deep, but they should be accompanied by their parents. Starting location of the rafting is at Abian Semal Sub-District, Bandung Regency, Bali. And to go to Ayung River, you need extra power because you must go down 100 stairs. After sailing through more than 2 hours, you will arrive at stop point. Here, there are rest area and also bathroom. Then, it will be continued by enjoying lunch. Listener, Ayung River has level of difficulty which is comparatively low. Because of that, Ayung River in Ubud attract rafting beginners, especially children. So, what are you waiting for? Set your time for rafting at Ayung River in Bali. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hey listener of UI, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Brandon Base is the capital city of Babatan Sub-District, Selepan Sub-District, West Brandon Sub-District, and East Brandon Sub-District, Langkat Regency, North Sumatra. It is located in east coast of Sumatra Island, about 60 kilometers of northern Binjai City. When the World War broke, the facilities in Brandon Base were destroyed by Japan, bombed by aliens, and re-destroyed by Republic forces. Why? In today's edition, we are introducing you to Brandon Base as Ocean Fire. Listener, the discoverer of oil field in Brandon Base, precisely in Telaga Said oil field, was a Dutch man, Eliko Jensen Zeker, about 1884. As now, Telaga Said oil field of Brandon Base was the first one in Indonesia, and it was the world's second largest oil field after the USA. This Brandon-based oil field has historical aspect for Indonesian independence struggle from the colonizer and the birth of national oil field or Pertamina. The Brent-based oil field has been destroyed for 3 times. The burning and the destroying of production facility in Langkat, namely Brandon-based oil field and the first Susu base, were conducted by the Dutch before Japanese invasion. But the damage was not as bad as the second burning because it was conducted in hurry. It happened on 9 until 11 February 1942. The purpose of the burning was to prevent Japanese army that wanted to dominate Asia not to colonize Indonesia. The second burning happened on 13 August 1947 by Plaslich military commandant of PMC forces. The burning of Brandon Base oil field began with the bombing of the huge tanks, refining foundation, and oil field company buildings at dawn about 3 a.m. of Indonesian Western Time, so that there was Brandon Ocean fire. The second tragedy caused all installation and oil industry facility in Brandon Base, including store and residence houses, to be devastated. The third burning was conducted by Indonesians on 19 December 1948, when the Dutch army was carrying out the second military aggression in Indonesia. As a consequence, all of oil fields in Brandon Base became debris and they were abandoned. Brandon is a heroic evidence of the spirit of Indonesians to defend Indonesian independence. The tragedy is a tactic and strategy of Republic forces by making oil field as the struggle instrument to discourage the Dutch army in order to redominate the oil field. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Ferrari World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 95 to 5 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Chris Patti. Chris Patti Band was established on 21st April 2003. Earlier, this band consisted of 4 personnel, namely Arif, Badai, Andika, and Anton. In the past, they studied at Institute of Indonesian Musicians. Listener, before we talk more about Chris Patti, let's listen to a song entitled Kejujuran Hati.
Kali
Listener, earlier, music of Krishpati has theme ethnic instrumental which is changed into new arrangement. On 22nd April 2003, this band performed for the first time in Farabi Sunday program. After that, they recruit Sammy as their vocalist. At the time, Sammy was one of finalists in Indonesian Idol 2004. Under Nagaswara, Krishpati began their debut through compilation album. The album was released in 2004. In the album, Krishpati contribute two songs entitled Lupakan Aku and Sebentuk Hati Buat Kekasih. In 2005, Krishpati released their first album entitled Kejujuran Hati. This album received Platinum Awards in 2006. Since that time, Krishpati is more well-known and their works are always sought by Indonesian music lovers. Listener, let's enjoy the next song entitled Menyerah di Hadapan Cinta.
Semua memang kesalahanku, bermain dengan hatimu. Semua memang kelalaianku, berharap memilikimu. Dan kini aku pun kalah, ku menyerah di hadapan cinta. Kau pun mengharuskanku menghapus semua jejakmu. Aku tak bisa. Ku kehilanganmu, aku merindumu, aku susah lupa. Jangan kau paksakan akan sanggup. Dan kini aku pun kalah, ku menyerah di hadapan cinta. Kau pun mengharuskanku menghapus semua jejakmu.
Semua memang kesalahanku. Bermain dengan hatimu.
Listener, in 2015, Chris Patti celebrated their 12th anniversary. The momentum was signed by releasing their 8th album entitled Delapan. This album contains of 15 songs. One of their hit singles in this album entitled Menyerah di Hadapan Cinta which was composed by Badai. This song tells about somebody who does not want to lose his couple. Finally, he gave up for his love. He thinks it is the best way to give up. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, we'll play two songs for you entitled Mengenangmu and Tak Lekang Oleh Waktu. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Takkan pernah habis air mataku bila ku ingat tentang dirimu. Mungkin hanya kau yang tahu mengapa sampai saat ini ku masih sendiri. Adakah di sana kau rindu padaku meski kita kini ada di dunia berbeda. Bila masih mungkin waktu ku putar dan ku tunggu dirimu. Biarlah ku simpan sampai nanti aku kan ada di sana. Tenanglah dirimu dalam kedamaian. Ingatlah cintaku, kau tak terlihat lagi, namun cintamu abadi. Adakah di sana kau rindu padaku kita kini ada di dunia berbeda. Bila masih mungkin waktu ku putar, ku tunggu dirimu. Biarlah ku simpan sampai nanti aku kan ada di sana. Cinta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Seputih cinta ini ingin ku lukiskan di dasar hatiku. Kesetiaan janjiku untuk pertahankan kasihku padamu. Bukalah mata hati, ku masih jumbui bayang dirimu di dalam mimpi yang mungkin takkan pernah membawamu di genggamku. Dirimu di hatiku tak lekang oleh waktu, meski kau bukan milikku. Intan permata yang tak pudar tetap bersinar mengusik kesepian. Memahami bimbangnya nurani, ku pastikan semua tak akan ku ingkari. Oh, terlalu banyak cinta yang mengisi datang dan pergi, namun tak pernah bisa
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at em.voi.co.id.
jangan lagi kau sesali keputusanku. Ku tak ingin kau semakin kan terluka. Tak ingin ku paksakan cinta ini. Meski tiada sanggup untuk kau terima, aku memang manusia paling berdosa. Ya nanti rasa demi keinginan semu, lebih baik jangan mencinta ia ku dan semua hatiku, karena takkan pernah kau temui cinta sejati. Sudah semua kisah ini dan jangan kau tangisi lagi. Sekalipun aku takkan pernah mencoba kembali padamu. Sejuta kata maaf terasa kan percuma.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.